சர்வபூஜிதம் நானா சாஸ்திர விசாரணை கணிப்பினம் சத்தர்ம சமஸ்தாபகம் லோகானாம் ஹிதகாரிணம்.
And now text 6. Drishtaisva bhava janater vapushaschatoshair na prakritatvam iha bhakta janasya pashyet gangam basam nakalo budbuddha pena pankair brahma dravatvam apagach hati nira dharmai. Translation. Being situated in his original Krishna conscious position, a pure devotee does not identify with the body. Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having a body born in a low family, a body with a bad complexion, a deformed body, or a diseased or infirm body. According to ordinary vision, such imperfections may seem prominent in the body of a pure devotee, but despite such seeming defects, the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. It is exactly like the waters of the Ganges, which sometimes during the rainy season are full of bubbles, foam, and mud. The Ganges waters do not become polluted. Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding will bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water. Purport. Shuddha Bhakti, the activity of the soul proper, in other words, engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, is performed in a liberated condition. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, verse 26, it is stated, Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate, which means, quote, one who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman, unquote. Avyabhicharani bhakti means unalloyed devotion. A person engaged in devotional service must be free from material motives. In this Krishna consciousness movement, one's consciousness must be changed. If consciousness is aimed toward material enjoyment, it is material consciousness. And if it is aimed toward serving Krishna, it is Krishna consciousness. A surrendered soul serves Krishna without material considerations. Anya bilasita shunyam, jnana karmad yanarvritam, which means unalloyed devotional service, which is transcendental to the activities of the body and mind, such as jnana, mental speculation, and karma, fruit of work, is called pure bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is the proper activity of the soul, and when one actually engages in unalloyed, uncontaminated devotional service, he is already liberated. Sagunan samatit yaitan. Krishna's devotee is not subjected to material condition, even though his bodily features may appear materially conditioned. One should therefore not see a pure devotee from a materialistic point of view. Unless one is actually a devotee, he cannot see another devotee perfectly. As explained in the previous verse, there are three types of devotees: Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. The Kanishta Adhikari cannot distinguish between a devotee and a non-devotee. He is simply concerned with worshipping the deity in the temple. A Madhyam Adhikari, however, can distinguish between the devotee and non-devotee, as well as between the devotee and the Lord. Thus he treats the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotee and the non-devotee, in different ways. No one should criticize the bodily defects of a pure devotee. If there are such defects, they should be overlooked. What should be taken into account is the spiritual master's main business, which is devotional service, pure service to the Supreme Lord. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 30, Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadur eva sa mantavya samyag vyavasito hisa, which means, even if a devotee sometimes seems to engage in abominable activities, he should be considered a sadhu, a saintly person, because his actual identity is that of one engaged in the loving service of the Lord. In other words, he is not to be considered an ordinary human being. Even though a pure devotee may not be born in a Brahmin or Goswami family, if he is engaged in the service of the Lord, he should not be neglected. In actuality, there cannot be a family of Goswamis based on material considerations, caste, or heredity. The Goswami title is actually the monopoly of the pure devotees. Thus, we speak of the six Goswamis headed by Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami had practically become Mohammedans and had therefore changed their names to Dabira Kasa and Sakara Malaka. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself made them Goswamis. Therefore, the Goswami title is not hereditary. The word Goswami refers to one who can control his senses, who is master of the senses. A devotee is not controlled by the senses, but is the controller of the senses. Consequently, he should be called Swami or Goswami, even though he may not be born in a Goswami family. According to this formula, the Goswamis, who are descendants of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Prabhu, are certainly devotees, but devotees coming from other families should not be discriminated against. Indeed, whether the devotees come from a family of previous acharyas or from an ordinary family, they should be treated equally. One should not think, "Oh, here is an American Goswami," and discriminate against him. Nor should one think, "Here is a Nityananda Vamsa Goswami." There is an undercurrent of protest against our awarding the title Goswami to the American Vaishnavas of the Krishna consciousness movement. Sometimes people flatly tell the American devotees that their sannyas or title Goswami is not bona fide. However, according to the statements of Srila Rupa Goswami in this verse, an American Goswami and a Goswami in a family of acharyas are non-different. On the other hand, a devotee who has attained the title of Goswami but is not born of a Brahmin father or of a Goswami in the family of Nityananda or Advaita Prabhu should not be artificially puffed up by thinking that he has become a Goswami. He should always remember that as soon as he becomes materially puffed up, he immediately falls down. This Krishna consciousness movement is a transcendental science, and there is no room for jealousy. This movement is meant for the Paramahansas, who are completely free from all jealousy. Paramam Nirmatsaranam. One should not be jealous, whether he is born in a family of Goswamis or has the title of Goswami awarded to him. As soon as anyone becomes envious, he falls from the platform of Paramahamsa. If we consider the bodily defects of a Vaishnava, we should understand that we are committing an offense at the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is very serious. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described this offense as Hati Mata, the mad elephant offense. A mad elephant can create a disaster, especially when it enters into a nicely trimmed garden. One should therefore be very careful not to commit any offense against a Vaishnava. Every devotee should be ready to take instructions from a superior Vaishnava, and a superior Vaishnava must be ready to help an inferior Vaishnava in all respects. One is superior or inferior according to his spiritual development in Krishna consciousness. One is forbidden to observe the activities of a pure Vaishnava from a material point of view. For the neophyte especially, considering a pure devotee from a material point of view is very injurious. One should therefore avoid observing a pure devotee externally, but should try to see the internal features and understand how he is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In this way, one can avoid seeing the pure devotee from a material point of view, and thus one can gradually become a purified devotee himself. Those who think that Krishna consciousness is limited to a certain section of people, a certain section of devotees, or a certain tract of land are generally prone to see the external features of the devotee. Such neophytes, unable to appreciate the exalted service of the advanced devotee, try to bring the Mahabhagavat to their platform. We experience such difficulty in propagating this Krishna consciousness all over the world. Unfortunately, we are surrounded by neophyte godbrothers who do not appreciate the extraordinary activities of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. They simply try to bring us to their platform, and they try to criticize us in every respect. We very much regret their naive activities and poor fund of knowledge. An empowered person who is actually engaged in the confidential service of the Lord should not be treated as an ordinary human being, for it is stated that unless one is empowered by Krishna, one cannot spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. When one thus criticizes a pure devotee, he commits an offense, Vaishnava aparad, that is very obstructive and dangerous for those who desire to advance in Krishna consciousness. A person cannot derive any spiritual benefit when he offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Everyone should therefore be very careful not to be jealous of an empowered Vaishnava or a Shuddha Vaishnava. It is also an offense to consider an empowered Vaishnava an object of disciplinary action. It is offensive to try to give him advice or to correct him. One can distinguish between a neophyte Vaishnava and an advanced Vaishnava by their activities. The advanced Vaishnava is always situated as the spiritual master, and the neophyte is always considered his disciple. The spiritual master must not be subjected to the advice of a disciple, nor should a spiritual master be obliged to take instructions from those who are not his disciples. This is the sum and substance of Srila Rupa Goswami's advice in the sixth verse.